Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 16. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to present alternative rites of passage, like birthdays, funerals, and anniversaries, including the classic wedding alternatives. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, and effective lifestyle. Our mission is to equip people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three of those fit together well with the five life standards of living more with less, which I discussed in episode 13. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. To learn more about us, listen to episodes 1 and 2. In this episode, I present alternative rites of passage, such as birthdays, anniversaries, funerals, including wedding alternatives. So, to follow along, go to the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, and at the top are links to Treasury of Celebrations and then wedding alternatives. Rites of passage are covered in part 4 of Treasury of Celebrations. I introduced Treasury of Celebrations subtitled Create Celebrations That Reflect Your Values and Don't Cost the Earth back in episode 4. If you'd like to learn more about the need to simplify all our celebrations, listen to episode 4 or at least check out its show notes. I put a link to episode 4 in this episode's show notes. Part 1 of Treasury of Celebrations is called Making Choices and includes simple living, gift giving, food and celebrations, and getting started. Part 2 of Treasury of Celebrations is about gifts. Part 3, about celebrations. And about 4, rites of passage. Rites of passage are rituals or celebrations that mark the passage of a person through the life cycle, from one stage to another, from one role or social position to another. In the pre-modern world, these rites served at least 4 functions. Number 1, safe passage. They made the passage from one life stage to another safe and clear. The second function was moments of learning. By calling attention to particular life changes, rites of passage may have increased anxiety, but did so in a context where important learning occurred that assisted in the transition. The third function was connection to community. Now, physiologically, one is born and dies alone, unique and separate, but each one is also a member of a community, a group that has particular values and understandings of life. And the fourth function of a rite of passage is the transformational experience. Not only did rites help to facilitate passage from one stage to another, but the rites actually shaped and manipulated biological imperatives as well. So, read more about these 4 functions in the article Rites of Passage in Treasury of Celebrations. Now, there's a place for rites in the modern society. Here's an excerpt from the article. Resist the pressures of the consumer society and observe the rites in ways that enable you to recover the renewing and maturing power they are intended to have by focusing on the following. First, focus on people. Focus on the people in passage, their anxieties, and the real issues they face in the new stage, instead of the gifts and other paraphernalia used to aid or celebrate the transition. In this way, those in passage can be brought safely through to a new stage of maturity. The second focus, values and ideals. Instead of mindlessly celebrating to anesthetize the persons to the trauma of the transition, focusing on values and ideals needed for the next phase of life can make the occasion a critical moment for learning. The third focus is on community. Instead of the consumer culture's narcissistic privatization of life transitions, focus the rites on the mystery and wonder of our place in community. These can be critical times to experience support from those relationships, as well as times to mature in our understanding of the community which sustains us. While fragmentation rather than community can characterize 21st century society, we are more than ever part of a world community, depending on one Earth and a fragile ecosystem for survival. Just as the rites in ancient times moved those in passage toward their new responsibilities in the community, so today's rites of passage must celebrate our relationship to the larger community and to the ecosystem, and aid in moving us toward assuming the responsibilities incumbent upon us because of those relationships. The fourth focus is on change. By focusing on the life changes that are required in the particular passage, the rites can help make the passages transformative experiences. Rites help people visualize the desired outcome of the passage and to see themselves on the other side. As such, rites become occasions of transformation. Finally, a brief excerpt from Creating Our Own Rituals. Although some of life is logical, much of life is not. Even when we are young, we come to understand that life is full of mystery. Without rituals and ceremonies within our communities and families, we feel adrift and cannot understand why. Let's start our overview of the various rites of passage. I'll pause briefly after each one to let it click with you. There are about 15, so take several deep, relaxing breaths and let the possibilities flow over you as you listen. They're in alphabetical order, by the way, not chronological order. Adoption Day. An alternative wedding service. Anniversaries. Bequeathal of organs and tissues upon our death. Birth. Birthdays. Death. Divorce. Early passages, such as tooth rites and starting school. Graduations. Hospice care. In the faith community, for example, confirmation for Christian youth and bar or bat mitzvah for Jewish boys and girls. Marriage. Memorial societies. Puberty. Retirement. And finally, the second time, which is about remarriage. I've also recently added an article on green birthday parties, contributed by longtime friend and former board member Dick Webster from Ohio. Well, that concludes a brief overview of Rites of Passage, Part 4 of Treasury of Celebrations, the last edition of the classic series Alternative Celebrations Catalogs. Now we focus on the classic Wedding Alternatives, which also has been published as the Alternative Wedding Book. This resource includes several chapters. First, Outward Signs of Inner Values, What Matters for Your Wedding. Second, create your own ceremony beyond Here Comes the Bride. Third, planning an alternative wedding, food, flowers, and festivities. Next, a wedding timeline or checklist. Then, a wedding budget worksheet. And finally, wedding alternatives supplement. In Spanish, Wedding Alternatives is called Nuestra Boda. Now, the original version is available free online, including a more recent supplement, and find a link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. The book version, called the Alternative Wedding Book, is still in print, subtitled Create a Beautiful Wedding That Reflects Your Values and Doesn't Cost the Earth. If you think this resource may be out of date, here's a testimonial I received late in 2013. She says, "For the past 15 years, as my friends have been falling in love and getting married, I made it a habit to buy them the Alternative Wedding Book, mostly because I really liked the subtitle, Create a Beautiful Wedding That Reflects Your Values and Doesn't Cost the Earth. Having not gone through the experience of planning a wedding myself, I was glad when my friends raved about the gift. Now, having been through the wedding planning process myself, I realize just what an essential tool it is. The book truly lives up to its subtitle." When my husband and I got engaged, I got a copy for us, and it served as both a light to guide our way and a foundation in the oncoming storm of commercialization of the wedding industry. Right from the start, the book gives solid advice. Create a budget right away and stick to it, followed by keep it simple. Those two tidbits were sanity keepers and helped us minimize conflict during the planning. So many websites and television shows are all about the trappings of the weddings: dresses, rings, decorations, music, photographers. Sure, those things are important, and decisions about them can reflect your priorities. However, those websites and television shows don't address the real issue, which is, who are you, and how will you reflect that in your wedding ceremony and share it with the community that is precious to us? I find it strange that many of the wedding-related websites and shows don't even touch the elements of the ceremony. This book gives samples of ceremony outlines, ideas for symbolic activities, musical suggestions. It is generally helpful in the crafting. Here are a few strategies that worked well for us. In order to focus, we identified four themes that were important to us. Then we integrated those themes into our decisions for our venue, our vows, our decorations, and our spending. Next, as part of the budgetary decision, we set priorities. This gave us the peace of mind knowing that what was most important to us would be covered, and gave us an excuse to easily turn down the myriad of special offers we received as an engaged couple. As we knew we wanted a zero-waste event, we then checked out an event kit from a local nonprofit so that we would have reusable table settings for the rehearsal dinner, selected settings that did not need a lot of decorations, coordinated a charity to receive all remaining reception food, and set up an online honeymoon registry so we would not receive stuff as gifts. This way, people's involvement could be something they really wanted to give. We emphasized that their presence and prayers were really what we wanted. So many things can be done online. First, a free wedding site where we used the budget tool and the guest list to monitor our status. Second, we posted event information. And third, the honeymoon registry site so that friends could contribute to our memories. Our wedding felt like camping with 100 of our best friends, and the reception was like having them over for dinner, except we didn't have to cook. An idea that was supported in the book was participation. We contacted close friends and family to see if and how they wanted to be involved. We ended up with over 40 volunteers, which we divided into teams: music, decorations, and cleanup, so that people could contribute to the event and not have to spend money. Focus on not owning, but on reusing. For example, my wedding dress came from a consignment shop. It's absolutely beautiful full lace, in my budget, and didn't need to be fitted. Wedding rings were made from recycled gold and gems. Invitations and bulletins were printed on recycled paper. The ceremony was in a wilderness area, and carpooling was encouraged. One of the most important aspects of the book is that it validates the notion that your wedding ceremony is that, yours. It need not be the prepackaged commercial binge that is purported by society to be the standard. Our wedding was just that, ours. I am truly proud and happy that we stayed in budget, supported local vendors, and had a zero-waste event in a wilderness area. I plan to continue giving the book to friends who are preparing to wed. By the way, it's available free and complete as Wedding Alternatives at SimpleLivingWorks.org. Including an updated supplement, and also in Spanish as Nuestra Boda. Signed, Arizona Bride. Well, inspired by Arizona Bride, we added a line for tithe in the wedding budget. The couple included 10% of their wedding budget as a charitable contribution for environmental causes. In the show notes is a link to my blog, Occupying the Flagstaff Bridal Fair, which I hope you'll find both humorous and enlightening. And I've added Meredith Gould's helpful book, Getting Married, Using Social Media to Celebrate the Sacred, to the Wedding Alternatives supplement. That ends my overview of Wedding Alternatives, and also rites of passage from Treasury of Celebrations. I hope that you can see the values of these free resources and will use them as needed, or even better, acquaint yourself with them now so that you'll be prepared for your next event. I hope some of those clicked for you. I may bring some of them up again in future episodes and blogs at appropriate times. If you're eager, you can read them now or anytime for free online in the archives at simplelivingworks.org. See the links in the show notes at the website's window number 3. You've been listening to an overview of alternative rites of passage, such as birthdays, anniversaries, and funerals, including the classic wedding alternatives. We've received wonderful positive response to Simple Living Works blog and podcast. Laurel Gray says, I have a new book. I have just published a book entitled The Evolution of a Progressive Christian, Making Dramatic Turnarounds Along Life's Unpredictable Journey. It's mainly a spiritual autobiography tracing my background leading up to progressive Christianity. Thank you, Laurel. I'll put Laurel's contact information in the show notes if you'd like to contact him about his book. Also, a link to one of my blogs explaining why I decline to call conservatives and fundamentalists evangelicals. I received an email about that very same blog. It says, Hi, Gerald. About the article, Fundamentalist Does Not Equal Evangelical. I would like to add, for many people who are down on the poor because they don't know them, what happens when they do know someone who is poor, they often decide that person is the exception, not the other poor people, and continue detesting the poor as a group. Signed, Kathy Brechtelsbauer, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Kathy, by the way, is a long-standing volunteer advocate with Bread for the World. Another note from another friend. Thank you, Gerald. Keep us posted whenever you play or mention my songs, and we'll help spread the word any way we can. Thanks for all you do for our amazing Earth. Blessings, Joyce, Earth Mama, Rouse. Earth Mama provides some of the theme music for this podcast. Hear her complete version of Simple Gifts on an earlier episode. Yet another note. Greetings, Jerry. We so appreciate your efforts to keep us in your very important loop. I found Godspace and Mustard Seed Associates in Washington. I'd love to hear from you. Blessings. Colorado Vincentian Volunteers, Mary Francis and Bill Jasper, co-directors. Their motto from St. Vincent de Paul is, Let us be actively prayerful and prayerfully active. So glad to hear from you, Mary Francis and Bill. I work with Christine and Tom Sein at Mustard Seed Associates, also called Godspace. We hope to visit their new Echo Education Center off the coast of Washington State this coming fall. In the news, I've renewed a friendship with Paul Canavesi and his spouse, Ann Nafziger. They hosted Rita and me while we were on a speaking tour of California. They contributed to the supplement to Wedding Alternatives that I talked about earlier, and follow the link in the show notes to see their wedding vows, and the link to the travel journal of that California tour. The show notes are in simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. More news. Colleague Lee Van Ham of Jubilee Economics is progressing well with his new book, Blinded by Progress. More details are in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. He's been interviewed lately on Inside Personal Growth with Greg Voisin, on Joycotting with Ismael Walsh, and on The Way I Roll with Jamie Hope. Links to those interviews are also in the show notes. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we post new Simple Living Works blogs several times a week. We hope you'll read them and subscribe. This blog is the companion to our two times a month podcast. The content is different, though the subject is the same. Click on the blog at the top of the show notes for each episode. As one of the early and long-standing supporters of alternatives, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, known as the ELCA, has pledged to keep a copy of each resource produced by alternatives and to make copies available by request at a nominal cost. Feel free to contact them at their offices near Chicago. The complete contact information is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or on our Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes as well. And in future episodes, you'll hear from Vicki Robin, the co-author of the classic bestseller, Your Money or Your Life. Her new book is Blessing the Hands That Feed Us. Also, I'll have information about preparing for Pentecost and Ordinary Time, and information about alternative summer festivals. In May, I plan to start a series called Tony and Shane Uncut, the complete 3.5-hour straight talk between Tony Campolo and Shane Claiborne about simple living and global justice. Parts of that dialogue became the DVD Simply Enough, which has been reissued by World Vision Canada as Choose Justice. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Subscriptions are free and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Urge your friends to do the same. Provide your email address to receive our monthly Simple Living Works e-news. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Instead, we encourage alternative giving, and we've posted new guidelines for alternative giving year-round to simplelivingworks.org. The link is in the show notes. Click on window number 3. Thanks to John Pitney and the band Earth Mama for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage at simplelivingworks.org. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.